I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Purple Daily is daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
Welcome in. Hey, today represents the 10th anniversary of the first time Judd and I ever did a daily show together. Our daily radio show, Mackie and Judd, the day after the Super Bowl 2014, began on 1500 ESPN radio, 4 hours every day from 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. Wow. And then a few years ago, we went away from AM radio and into podcast and YouTube, and here we are on Purple Daily. But a 10-year content marriage.
It's been great.
With been Declan great. As our content son.
It's only getting better. Mm-hmm. Our first topic was the infamous Russell Wilson pass at the goal line.
That's right.
Picked off by Malcolm Butler. That was our first topic. So it did provide a great platform for football heartbreak and a really, really good talker because it was a disaster.
Man, 10 years ago. It's crazy. I put some photos up from our first year doing the show together. We have not aged at all. It's crazy.
Oh, no. Exactly
reverse aging, really, if you ask me.
Both of us look the exact same.
Must be that Sarah V.
That was one of my favorite Super Bowl commercials.
That was good.
It was really good.
Michael Sarah.
In fact, Dex tweets here. I have a ton of I love Sarah. I have the moisturizer.
I'm a CeraVe guy, too.
I love me some CeraVe. CeraVe's great.
I just keep the skin through natural means.
Do you put any like face lotion on or anything?
No.
So doesn't your skin get dry and flaky?
I have oily skin.
Scaly?
Oh, no. Well, there's oily and dry.
I have oily skin. Lots of pimples as a kid, so it's not too bad.
Okay.
It's not bad. But yes, it's the only thing that dries out is my hands, which hurts in the middle of winter.
What a great start to the show here.
For 10 years. Congratulations.
As Michael Sarah said, we're really passionate about human skin on the show here, Purple Daily. This is going to be a hard count edition of Purple Daily today.
Everybody,
boys.
Hold your water.
Ready? What's that?
Balls, balls, balls.
Triple shot.
Balls. Green 18. Green 18.
Football.
Where we jump through a few different topics and questions around the Vikings and football world. I'm going to start you guys with this one here, okay? Your biggest takeaway watching the Super Bowl. We did this for all the other rounds of the playoffs. Your biggest takeaway watching through a Vikings lens was what yesterday?
It was how far away the Vikings are from a personnel standpoint, especially on defense.
Well, they beat the 49ers in October. They almost beat the Chiefs back in October.
But I'm talking about nut-cutting playoff football when it's on the line. Playoffs are different. And look, Brian Flores is a fantastic hire. Righted a lot of the wrongs of Ed Donatell from the 2022 season. So I'm not saying that the Vikings are poorly coached defensively, just the opposite. But when you looked at the cornerback play, when you looked at, you know, let's say Chris Jones of Kansas City, the interior defensive line play. I mean, Patrick Mahomes deserves every bit of praise he gets. But I feel just to look at him and say, well, that's it. That's the only thing. Mm-hmm. It's not fair because that game, and I saw a lot of people said it was boring, which I do not agree with. I thought it was a fun game. But that game was in some people's minds boring because it was so generated by the defensive successes, right? And you look at the personnel on that some that those teams have. The Vikings have in Danielle Hunter an outstanding edge rusher. They are lacking at cornerback. They are 100%, as we've discussed ad nauseum, lacking interior defensive line. I like Pace Jr., but the reality is they're not deep at linebacker. So the biggest, my biggest takeaway was the components that you need to compete in the postseason defensively. The Vikings have the coaching for it, but they do not have the personnel. And that just, I mean, kept, because those are two really good offensive teams that were essentially for a very long period of time held in check by defenses that were better.
They were, yeah, both offenses, especially the 49ers offense at different portions too, with a chance to like put the game away, mm-hmm. were just flustered. There was that zero blitz in the red zone that Brock Purdy drops back. He's got wide open Jennings. Jennings beat his man off the right side. And Purdy just, you know, he had two dudes in his face and couldn't find the target. Like, that stuff happened throughout the entire game on both sides.
The Chiefs don't win that game if their defense does not play as well as it did, because that game for a long time felt like San Fran was up by about 17 points, mm-hmm. and they never were.
Yeah, the Chiefs defense, look at the quarterbacks and the offenses that they stifled throughout this postseason run. Yep. You know, the Bills and Josh Allen, the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. I know that it was historically cold, but even that Dolphins offense that put up crazy points this year.
Great game planning.
So, yeah, that's you got to hit on some draft picks to have some good defensive players. You know, Vikings, take some notes.
Yeah,
draft a good defensive player at some point. Be beneficial. Dex, what was your biggest Vikings-related takeaway?
I'll piggyback a little bit off Judd's and say they have to, the Vikings have to, build up in the trenches, both sides. And I know they have really good pillar tackles in O'Neal and Darisa. But, I mean, you look at the Chiefs, they had no Joe Tooney, who's a great guard for them, and Mahomes was flustered for a good chunk of that game. The Niners' defensive line in their own right is really damn good. They were stuffing things and making things really hard.
Yeah.
And Brad Childress did a really good job when he was here at head coach of building up those trenches, right? The Williams wall, the Vikings got spoiled with that for a while, even after Childress, into like guys like Linval Joseph, et cetera. They've always had really good trenches there, especially defensively. The last 4 years, it's been a little bit of a miss. But those trenches, man, if you can get those trenches right, it can disrupt things. I mean, they lost one guard, the Chiefs did, and Joe Tooney, and Mahomes was running for his life for the most part, couldn't get pressure in his face. When they lost that first Super Bowl to Brady in 2021, they basically said, never again, we're going to build up those trenches, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure Mahomes is at least protected before he has to run out. The Vikings have to take notes there. They have to look at the defensive and offensive lines and say, man, we are so far away from most likely competing for a Super Bowl until we really build that stuff up.
Some of the things, though, that Mahomes was doing, too, I mean, yeah, their offensive line, especially when Tooney's in there, their offensive line has had some, they've upgraded it since that Super Bowl loss. But some of the things Mahomes does to make it easier on his offensive lineman, the way that he steps up in the pocket when he feels pressure coming out, like Dan Orlovsky did a breakdown on ESPN this morning, kind of showing some of this stuff, but the way that he just scoots around and finds open spaces, it's pretty incredible. There's a reason why he's probably the greatest quarterback of all time. He elevates everyone around him, which actually brings me to my biggest takeaway on behalf of the Vikings. I'm going to stay on brand for this one. It's quarterback related. If you look back at the last decade and change of Super Bowls, and yesterday was just another highlighted example, if you aren't implementing one of two quarterback situations, you're pretty much screwed if you want to play in the Super Bowl. Like, if you want to be in that fight, fourth quarter, one score game, your team has the ball with a chance to win the World Football Championship, you better have either one, a GOAT at quarterback. Patrick Mahomes certainly qualifies as a GOAT. Or number two, a quarterback that makes virtually no money. So get this, last 12 Super Bowls, so 24 participating Super Bowl teams, a place the Vikings have not been since the 1970s. You can't win a Super Bowl unless you get to a Super Bowl. And the Vikings need to get to a Super Bowl first, right? Of the last 24 participating Super Bowl teams, 9 out of 24 were led by GOATs on large contracts. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning, 9 out of 24. 12 out of 24 were led by quarterbacks on rookie-scale contracts. Brock Purdy yesterday. Patrick Mahomes actually falls into this category twice. He won a Super Bowl and lost a Super Bowl on a rookie-scale contract. Go back to Joe Flacco was in the fifth-year option of his rookie-scale contract back in, whatever, 2013. I could keep naming. So to recap, 21 out of the last 24 participating Super Bowl teams had either a first-ballot GOAT Hall of Fame Mount Rushmore guy, which is hard to get, I get it, or they had a rookie-scale contract quarterback. That's 88% of the last 24 Super Bowl participants. The Vikings don't, they obviously don't fall into either one of those categories. They fall into the 12% category, and those three remaining quarterbacks are 2021 Matthew Stafford, and they won. They cashed in. It was great. 2016 Matt Ryan under Kyle Shanahan, MVP, and 2019 Jimmy Garoppolo under Kyle Shanahan. So pick your path. Like if you think if you're going to use Stafford, Matt Ryan, and Jimmy G as the well, see,
right?
Any you can bring anyone to a Super Bowl, right? Or you could go look at the 88% and say, well, boy, it'd be nice if we got a Patrick Mahomes or a Tom Brady, which is probably not going to happen. But by the way, it can't happen unless you try. So that's the first step. Or get a quarterback that makes virtually no money, so you can have a monster trenches like Declan saying. Weapons, right. Dude, Jennings was like the fourth or fifth weapons option, probably the fifth option for the Niners, and he exploded last night.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty clear cut if you're looking to build a blueprint to get to the Super Bowl, what you should look to do.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So in the modern day, I think what this comes down to, too, and it's difficult, but you have to do it, is you have to hit on draft picks continually, right? Like,
yep.
San Francisco hits on draft picks. Kansas City hits on draft picks. And I'm not just talking QB. I'm talking the entire thing. But San Francisco also had the cojones to make a big trade to draft third, take Trey Lance, pivot off him, realizing that was not going to work, taking Brock Purdy and making that work, which is, in my opinion, an infrastructure thing, which means your infrastructure is so good that you have the ability to maximize talent. And that's the other thing is the Vikings have definitely had some incredibly questionable drafts. But my other question is, what is the ability of, and this remains to be seen, what's the ability of O'Connell and his coaching staff to maximize guys' potential? Because, you know, we probably don't talk about that enough. We always just say, well, Spielman or crazy draft this guy and he's a bust. He sucks. That's, you know, terrible pick. But my question is, if you look at through these, perfect example, Isaiah Pacheco, okay? It's a sixth round pick. Guarantee you there are some teams that might have taken him or signed him and he ain't playing.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Chandler. Like, is Ty Chandler good? Because if Ty Chandler's good, he just should, and if Ty Chandler's good, you have to pivot off, okay, we signed Alexander Mattison, but it appears that we made a mistake. Ty Chandler is the superior player. He's going to play. Teams like the Chiefs and Niners say that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, so like Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, like a second-round pick?
Yes.
And they kind of just said, Pacheco is going to be our guy.
Exactly right. But, I mean, that's where I think that there's a conversation about how your football operations and coaching staff work hand-in-hand to at least if you make a mistake, to cut bait there And I go back to this, and you know, in Pete Carroll in his heyday in Seattle, they sign at that time free agent former Packer Matt Flynn to this big contract, and it's like Matt Flynn's our guy. And I believe in the same exact draft, they take Russell Wilson. So they come in, and we're all like, "Well, Matt Flynn's starting." Russell Wilson won the job in training camp because the Seahawks had the guts to say, "Hey, you know what? This guy's flat out better."
Like, yeah, the Madison loyalty was it's definitely a red flag for the coaching staff being able to move off things.
It's disturbing, but also like with QBs, are you willing to not just draft one, but are you putting that person into an infrastructure that's going to maximize him? And if he's not where you thought, can you get him up? Can you elevate him? Like, these all become very important things. But San Francisco and KC, as far as their organizational philosophies, they're not flukes. Like, it's not good luck. They know what they're doing, partially because you have to have a gene that says, Alexander, we love you. You're a great guy. We drafted you, but we were wrong about your potential.
Mm-hmm. Second question for you guys here, okay?
Everybody hold your water.
I don't think I texted you this one, so I'm putting you guys on the spot a little bit. So if you need a minute, that's okay. But what is your hottest Super Bowl take off yesterday?
You actually did.
Did I prep you for this? Okay.
Yeah. Dex, go ahead. I
went hottest Super Bowl take for me would be Brock Purdy belongs in the elite conversation of quarterbacks.
Wow. Okay, like with what do you mean? What's your, like, he belongs with Patrick Mahomes?
He belongs in a conversation of not game manager. He is right up there in the top five, top six quarterbacks.
Ooh.
Yeah, I certainly will not put him in the Mahomes, Burrow, pay him whatever you want bin yet. I still can't get there probably with Brock Purdy.
But you said elite, though.
Elite. He is an elite quarterback. He's an elite quarterback.
What's Mahomes then? This is my trouble with the word elite now. It's like, mm-hmm, there's Mahomes, and then, like, but... So Mahomes is like above elite now. What's the name of the category? It's just called Mahomes, I guess.
Mahomes Hall of Famer.
GOAT. There's like GOATs, and then it's GOAT and then elite.
Yeah, probably, because I mean, you could even make a case. A lot of guys are elite in the NFL right now, but are they surefire Hall of Fame game changing guys?
Can there be a lot of elite players, or does that negate the definition of elite?
We could be overusing it a lot more than we probably should. That's definitely, I think, part of it. But I think Brock Purdy has 100% graduated from game manager and all this stuff. And yeah, he had pressure in his face that last play. That's going to be a stinger for him when he had Jennings wide open in the end zone. But Brock Purdy, I don't want to, he did not lose that game. Jimmy Garoppolo lost that game for the Niners in the Super Bowl. He lost that game. Brock Purdy did not lose that game for the Niners yesterday.
See, you're doing something, though, that we do with Kirk Cousins. And what I'd love to do is we should rank quarterbacks right now. Like, we're emotional off the game yesterday. We should rank. I want to see where we put Purdy. But we focus so much on, like, with Kirk, what he's not to blame for, right? The Vikings lose a game, and you're like, oh, it wasn't Kirk Cousins' fault because these other five things happened. And yesterday with the Niners, right, Purdy, he wasn't like a train wreck, and he made some big throws. But this is the difference between Patrick Mahomes, for instance. So Mahomes, over the last couple of years, you take away his future Hall of Fame number one wide receiver in Tyreek Hill. You shuffle some things around the offensive line and give him a seventh round running back. And then, by the way, you give him a center that has a chronic low snapping problem. Joe Tooney out injured, one of the best left guards in the NFL. And and your defense is going to give up a go-ahead scoring drive late in the game. Like, all these things happen. And it doesn't matter. Like, the game could have ended and the Chiefs could have lost and we would have said, wasn't Patrick Mahomes' fault. But he's the ultimate fixer. He's the solutions guy. He comes in and says, okay, Tyreek Hill's gone over here. My receivers led the league in drops.
Yep.
Those are all viable, excuses. And he just overcomes everything.
So I've among terms that I feel like are used too much now, and it's a great term, but it's thrown around a little bit too much, is cheat code. Patrick Mahomes is a cheat code. Like, that's the cheat code. A cheat code is not a guy who's good, but you lose. A cheat code is a guy who's so good that you can't lose.
Yeah, and he is the greatest cheat code in football history, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, if in the history of the league, there's been a few probably, but the point is, yes, recency bias. I mean, he literally was not going to let them lose. And if Shanahan had kicked off, my guess is the Chiefs still win.
Yeah, people are hammering. There's some things to nitpick Shanahan for, but yeah, let's say they kick off. Okay, well, the Chiefs probably score a touchdown anyways.
Right, and then Brock Purdy's under more pressure, and he's still young. You don't know how he's going to – like, I just – yes, he is a – Mahomes is an honest cheat code.
Yeah. Okay. Impromptu quarterback rankings. Like, where – Dex, where – go through them right now.
Okay, I'm going to go off the top of my head. I'll go – obviously, Mahomes one. I'll put Burrow two. I still love Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow for me is number
healthy one. Joe Burrow is a dog. Yeah, he's
mm-hmm. Loves intangibles. Josh Allen three. Still have Josh Allen three, even with the turnovers. He's just a touchdown and offensive machine. You can overcome some of those boneheaded turnovers because he just literally produces the entire offense there. All right, now I'm trying to think of who am I missing at four. Probably I'll put Lamar Jackson four. I could move this guy, but I'll put him four because I think that's probably pretty safe. Mm-hmm. Number five. This is where I think we get really five. You could put a lot of different guys here. Five. I'm trying to think if I'm hoping I'm not missing someone.
I'll throw you some names to just chew on. Okay.
Yep.
Dak Prescott.
No.
Justin Herbert. Matthew Stafford. Jared Goff. Jalen Hurts. C.J. Stroud, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, Tua, Kirk. Can't
Brock
forget about our
five.
Guy.
Brock Purdy five. Brock Purdy five.
I love it.
I'll take Brock Purdy over.
It does kind of separate. I feel like the top four are pretty
there's a
ironclad.
A year from now, where is Herbert? This day, next year, after a year with the Chargers and Harbaugh, where is Justin Herbert?
See, it's a tough one because Harbaugh just hired Greg Roman to be his offensive coordinator, and Greg Roman is notorious.
He's
been the OC.
No, he's got some type of offensive job, but it's not OC. I looked it up. It's some type of advisory role. So
I thought they made it official like 2 days ago that he was...
Oh, I saw.
But he's notorious for leading the league in rushing attempts.
Yeah.
He's the offensive coordinator for the Chargers. Los Angeles Chargers.com.
Oh, okay.
Greg Roman, who is Chargers offensive coordinator Greg Roman?
Five things to know. Originally, he was named like an offensive overseer. But if
he is the offensive coordinator. So okay. Justin Herbert probably isn't throwing the ball 650 times or whatever it was. Yeah. Last few years. I'm not putting Purdy five, but I will say that people calling him like this game manager who's just along for the ride, that is not at all the case. That dude can make plays. Although he missed a couple plays that would have daggered the Chiefs in that game.
Mm-hmm.
You can't miss those and expect to beat Patrick Mahomes, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Next question or next hot take.
Okay. I'm going to go away from the field and to the broadcast booth because here's my hottest take. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo do not work anymore.
Wow.
It doesn't work.
Wow,
they need to separate them. It's gone from Romo being this joyous guy who like would continue to talk and it would tell you a lot. And Nantz, you could tell was sort of flustered back then, but it was sort of funny.
Yeah.
Now it's like someone sat Tony down and it's like, Jim doesn't like this and Jim doesn't like that, but Tony can't help himself and Tony wants to have fun. And like Jim again is still flustered. And there was like three times yesterday where Nantz would, you know, make one of his hackneyed cliche Vegas jokes lines, or where Romo would try and sneak in like some aside. And then Romo would literally like look for Jim. He would say something to Jim like, pretty good one, huh? Like during the telecast.
Well, like, there was a moment late where one of the two teams was lining up for a key field goal like late. I can't remember if it was game, like a, I think it might have been the
Butker,
the game tire. I can't remember. But Romo was all excited explaining the last play that like didn't work. And the camera is showing the special teams unit coming out to line up for this big field goal. And Romo's like all excited. And then he stops. He goes, but take it away, Jim. Take it away.
Yep. Like, yeah, that's
it's like he realized, oh, man, Jim hates when I ramble on about the previous play.
It's uncomfortable. It doesn't work. And I don't think that means either one sucks. I do think it means that like there would be so much better chemistry. I think that Kevin Burkhardt on Fox with Greg Olson was a fantastic pairing.
Greg Olson should go to CBS.
That's what I keep saying. I think he'd be great with Nance.
I'm not as out on Romo. I think people have overstated that he was way better 6 years ago than he is now. He was definitely predicting more plays and was more plugged into the game 6 years ago.
100%.
But there was Creed Humphrey has a problem with low snaps. Like it's a thing. And someone from, I think it was PFF Brad, tweeted out during the game because he had that low snap and Mahomes fumbled it and it was a big loss. Yep. And Romo was like, "Boy, you don't see that from Creed Humphrey." And PFF Brad sends out, "Boy, that's how he just tipped his hand that he does not prep in depth for these games if he thinks that this isn't a problem."
I just don't think it works. And like, it's almost that if this is possible, Romo's become too squirrely. Yeah. Like he's looking for Jim's approval during the telecast. It's like, dude, what made you funny was you were just clomping on Jim before, and now it's like, oh, that was a pretty good line, right? I don't know.
Even the game-winning play in overtime, like, just let it breathe for a little bit, dude. Like, just let the whole thing breathe. Like, that's play-by-play color commentating 101, dude, and you're, like, vomiting all over this amazing game-ending play. Like, just take a step back, dude.
That was a little jarring, It was like, this is usually a moment where you just kind of watch the players celebrate, and you got the boom mics, and there he's just like, "Oh, Jim! Oh God! It was the same concept. It was the same concept as last year. He runs this guy over here. Oh God!"
And then Jim is, and then Jim's fault is he's so eager to put his stamp on things, right? Like Jim got confused years ago. He calls stuff like he's calling it, like the viewer can't see it. It's like Jim, shut up.
But he loves to put the, you know, like when the Masters winning putt goes in, he's always got, you know, he always has the quippy.
Yeah, I'd rather just silence.
It's another KC masterpiece or, you know, whatever.
Why can't we just, to what Declan said, why can't we just watch the play? And the thing is, Kevin Harlan's call on Westwood 1 is phenomenal.
I haven't heard that one yet, but I wish he would. I wish he had even higher profile TV gigs. But he's blocked. He's blocked age wise by like Nance, and Mike Breen on the NBA side.
I would make him but I'd really like to see CBS make him the main football guy.
But I think those guys are like, aren't they like 5 years apart in age too? So he's not even the young guy that's waiting for.
How
old do you think Jim Nance is?
He's near 70, I think.
He's only 64.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
And Kevin Harlan.
He's probably 60. He's probably
63.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So he's blocked, man. He's blocked.
Yeah, I know. But it's an absolute shame that he's blocked by Jimmy.
My hottest take off that would be, I'll give you another one too, but I think Kevin Harlan is the best sports play-by-play guy in the country. But he's literally blocked at his main sports are basketball and football. And he's blocked by Jim Nance at CBS, just like he would be blocked by Joe Buck at ESPN. Although
TNT's top guy though, right?
But TNT doesn't have the NBA finals.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
You know, so he doesn't get to call the championship game or the championship round of
you. He's fantastic
of his sports. Unfortunately. Okay. I'll give you this hottest take.
Green 18!
Some people are going to destroy me for this, but we witnessed 58 Super Bowls, a top three halftime performance yesterday.
Oh.
Top three halftime show. We had, I think it was 14 Usher songs pumped out in 12 minutes. You had, as predicted on the show, Usher on roller skates at one point. Here's another hot take. Was yesterday the most successful day in the history of Purple Daily predictions? Declan had like five correct ones.
Mm-hmm.
I had at least two or three. Joe Montana on camera.
I had
the Debo Samuel injury, Judd.
And I think I predicted the Chiefs would win Mahomes MVP, which is not a stretch to predict it, but it was right.
Wow.
Yeah, I think we all had
bravo to us.
A couple of
players. This is awesome.
I don't think that's a hot take, though. I think you're right. Like, what is it? Prince is one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Prince in the Rain, right? Wasn't that the...
Miami.
Yep.
Prince in the Rain in Miami. I'll give you... There's like... Here's the Mount Rushmore, okay? Yep. All due respect to the like Tulane marching band from the 70s. Yep. They used
to
have
people,
marching bands.
Upward yeah. People, fantastic.
Prince in the Rain. I love the Aerosmith halftime show from like 20 years ago
Britney
in Tampa.
Spears, right?
Britney Spears. I think NSYNC. It was
it
all
was
these
nuts.
2,000
yes.
stars.
That's one of my favorite.
Some people would say U2. I'm just not a huge U2 guy.
Top four almost overrated band of all time, U2. That's my hot take. Incredibly
you know what
I'm
I
with
think?
I'm with Dex on that.
I think halftime... So here's my thing with halftime shows. And I'm a huge Tom Petty fan, McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think those guys work for halftime shows.
They're like the guys you bring in after something went wrong the year before, right? Oh,
yep,
man,
yep.
J-Lo's boob pop yep. or Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction, you know?
But I think that those, like Petty did a collection of hits.
Correct. I'm with Judd here.
And I love him. He's one of my favorites. Yeah. But really, yeah. like this yeah. was, like the thing that you got to appreciate, no matter how you feel about Usher, is that was a production.
A performance too. Like,
right, but I mean, yeah. It was marvelous.
Yeah. Here's the Mount Rushmore, okay? In any particular order for me. So I'm gonna go Usher yesterday.
Yep.
Prince in the Rain.
Mm-hmm.
Aerosmith with Britney Spears in sync from early 2000s.
I'm with you.
And then it was early 90s. It was one of the Cowboys Bills Super Bowls when Michael Jackson. Didn't he like rappel from the top of the stadium or something?
That was the year after the Metrodome kerfuffle. And I shouldn't really say like it was the Metrodome's fault that halftime show existed. But that was that Winter Wonderland thing. Yeah. And then In Living Color, right? I think also aired an episode that steered. So the botch halftime show at the Metrodome basically kicked off the new editions of what Super Bowl halftime shows were, which was MJ that very next year.
Yeah, we had, by the way, the U of M marching band was part of the Winter Magic performance.
Go back
at the
through
Metrodome.
Those, man. Like, it's up with people. Like, there was no real plan for it to be a production until 90, what, two then?
Chubby well, Checker and the Rockettes in 1988.
Yeah.
We had Up With People in 86.
Like, a bunch of times. It was just
Up With People in 80. What is Up With People? It's like Motown.
I don't
covers
remember. It's just some type of
it's like a cover band know.
But it was but I mean it was
here's the Johnny Holmes
filler
band.
It was filler
cool.
New Kids on the Block came around in 1991, so we started mixing in some bigger stars there in like the early 90s, but yeah, I don't know, I'm into it. I also went and saw Usher at MGM Park MGM last summer, and it was 3 hours of just chaos. It was,
here's Mike at that Vegas show, residency show you saw. Was he that sweaty?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh, dude, he had to change shirts. It was we thought you go to any casino show, whether it's Mystic Lake or Vegas, it's like they'll play for an hour and a half, and then they want you to go dump money into the slot machines, right? So Usher played for 3 hours, and this was the genesis of my roller skates prediction. Was for like 40 minutes during his 3 hour set. He basically did like a full album on roller skates at that show at Park MGM. So I figured maybe he brings the roller skates to the Super Bowl, you know, and the stage looked like it was big enough there for the first few songs. Like, no, maybe he'll pop on the skates. But yeah, he literally had to change shirts like 4 or 5 times over the 3 hours during his residency performance.
Yeah, I felt bad for him when he took off his shirt at the hat. I was like, just wipe your face, buddy. It's okay. No one's going to judge you. Like, at this point, like, I you are just dripping with sweat, and it makes sense. You're performing like crazy right now. But
how would you feel? So Alicia Keys is married.
Mm-hmm.
People thought maybe Usher went a little too far hugging a married woman like that from behind, you know, kind of
that's
bringing
Usher,
her in
man.
Close.
Like that. No. I had no issue with that.
If it's me, you know what? I say to my loving wife, hey, that's Usher.
Yeah, exactly. I gotta say the same thing.
Hall pass. Yeah. Can I also? No. Okay.
I'd be in the same boat.
Okay, last hard count question for you guys here.
Green 18! Green 18!
Did you like any of the commercials?
Oh, the Dunkin' Donuts one, I thought.
Dunkin' was good.
Fantastic.
That was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yep. We already talked about, I think, was it on the other episode? I can't remember. Michael, hi, I'm Michael Cera, and yeah. Human skin is my passion.
Yeah.
State
or
Farm
Sarah V.
With Schwarzenegger. State Farm. And the Christopher Walken one for BMW,
I like that one.
I thought was pretty creative, mm-hmm. with them all trying to talk like Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Stone Cold with a mullet made my list.
Yep. Saw that. That was funny. Good. And it wasn't like its favorite one, but I do like the E-Trade babies. They're playing
around forever.
That one.
They
have
now, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like 20 years of E-Trade.
The Dunkin'
babies.
One, though, I thought was hilarious.
Dunkin' one was really good. Damon
Chris Pratt looks like the Pringles guy. That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Pringles mustache. How about Messi drinking Michelob Ultra and just weaving his way in and around? Do you think Messi just slams a couple Michelob Ultras at halftime of his World Cup games? I don't know. Then the Mr. T Skechers one also made my list. There's no T in Skechers. And then Mr. T comes in with his, like, were they catering to 75-year-old men?
That's what I was,
if you
ask,
can't,
like,
bend over to, like, tie your shoes, try Skechers.
And Mr. T can probably be had on the commercial market these days for pretty cheap.
Yeah. I don't know what Skechers are going for there. And then the only other one I wrote down was the Pluto TV growing couch potatoes. That was kind of funny.
How much money did Temu spend on Super Bowl ads? I want to know that.
Billions. I think.
Like, I think I almost bought something off Temu this summer of, like, a retro video game thing. But then I did research and I was like, I'm going to get scammed. I don't trust this at all. So I decided not to buy it. And now I saw them 7 times over the course of the 4-hour Super Bowl yesterday.
Yeah. Well, so what is Temu, like, is it like Amazon and eBay rolled into one?
Yeah,
like, how would,
like,
you explain it?
It's like a marketplace.
Apparently seeing 9 commercials wasn't enough for me to know exactly what Temu was yesterday.
It's super discounted stuff. And I believe what their tagline yesterday was, like, shop like a billionaire, right? So it's got, like, really cool things that you would find, like, maybe even like a Sky Mall magazine per se, right? And they're really cheaper and discounted. And I also don't know if everything is, it's a lot like, it'd be like if Etsy and Amazon and eBay and Sky Mall combined into one. For very discounted things. I think that's probably the core four there that would work with it.
Those SkyMall magazines were the best.
I love SkyMall magazines.
Before you had internet on planes, you would just thumb through that thing for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
The point of them, though. Like, I'd thumb through them and I'd be like, I don't want any of this stuff.
Oh, I love
really?
It.
Really? You never, never pulled the trigger on a...
Oh, I didn't even come close to pulling the trigger. I was... I eventually didn't thumb through it because I just got bored with the randomness of the stuff.
See, I felt like by the time I was done, I was like, yeah, I really do need that beer helmet that, like, you know, I don't know, connects to my refrigerator.
That toaster that could make me a grilled cheese at the same time.
Here's my question. Man. Why didn't more, I might have just missed this. It felt like the commercials for the first time in a long time that a bunch of them didn't leak out. Like, I feel like a year or two ago on Twitter, you saw a bunch of them, or you saw them on social. I saw a bunch that I didn't know, which I actually enjoyed more because it's more fun to watch them when they're surprising. But it feels like very few. I saw like one or two that leaked out, but it felt like 2 years ago it was like 5 of them or 6 of them.
I saw the Uber Eats one with Jen and David Schwimmer. I saw that earlier this week, so I knew that one was coming.
I'd seen that. That's one I'd seen.
I know you guys aren't big Marvel and comic book guys, but like Deadpool 2 was, they dropped the full trailer like 3 minutes on Twitter before they aired like an abbreviated version on the Super Bowl ad.
Okay. And Twister's coming back.
Twisters. Is that a sequel? Is it like the kids of,
or a that's what I'm wondering. Is that like Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt's kids? Or, got the balls in the thing
July.
To get caught up and give you the reading.
Yeah, I'm in on that.
It sounds like we've not made a lot of progress in our tornado tracking in the past 25 years.
Well, we will have our first summer blockbuster action movie rewind candidate.
I had no idea.
Mackie and Judd movie reviews on Apple and Spotify.
I had no idea. Like, I saw that, and because I saw the trailer, and I started, and I'm like, is this what I think it is?
Yeah, you damn right it is.
You don't face your fears; you ride them.
Oh,
that's the tagline of the movie.
Let's go.
And they've got to bring Helen Hunt back for some type of role or cameo, right? For sure. She's got to be back.
Yeah, hope so. Hey, before we wrap here, boys,
I want a mock.
Got a mock draft for you, presented by our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Face-to-face and eye-to-eye is one of the many things that makes Federated Insurance stand out in the insurance industry. Their corporate culture is grounded in equity, integrity, teamwork, and respect. And these four cornerstones create the foundation that supports all interactions and decision-making. If you're looking to elevate your business through risk management, it's like having a great offensive line for your business. Been saying that for a long time here on Purple Daily. Federated is the company for you. Federatedinsurance.com to find out more information. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. This one comes from Barstool Sports, boys.
Oh, okay.
Barstool's doing mocks now.
Really?
Steven Chia. Okay. 1.0 here. Just posted this morning, a couple hours ago. So he has the Bears taking Caleb Williams, the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels, and the Patriots taking Drake May. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Cardinals taking Marvin Harrison Jr., Chargers taking Joe Alt, the offensive tackle, and the Giants taking Rome Odunze, wide receiver, Washington. Titans take offensive tackle Talese Fuaga from Oregon State. Falcons take Dallas Turner, the edge rusher from Alabama. Bears take Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU. Jets take Olu Fashanu, tackle from Penn State. That's really interesting. So now the Vikings are on the board. That tight end Brock Bowers is still on the board, isn't he? Did I read Brock Bowers' name? Would you take a second tight end here to pair with Hockenson?
No.
I mean, he's projected to be like a top 5 or 6 pick, though.
They hadn't re-signed Hockenson.
I wonder if this guy forgot about Bowers and he's like, oh, crap. Who's going to take him now?
He does have him at 15, spoiler alert.
Okay.
Tough guy to find a landing spot for here, but he's one of the top players in the class. He has the Vikings taking out of Florida State edge rusher Jared Verse.
I want a mock!
I expect more from Barstool. I expect more edge. I expect more edginess. I expect more.
What do you mean he gave the Vikings an edge? How much more edge do you need?
Again, there are no trades, okay? So I'm protesting this.
He says Danielle Hunter is coming off a 16-sack season, but he's also a free agent. Verse can represent a huge cost savings if they decide to retain Kirk Cousins. And then J.J. McCarthy goes 12th right after to the Broncos. Bo Nix 14 to the Saints in this mock.
Yeah. I'm thinking if that's the case, they take McCarthy. But
see if they got any other quarterbacks in the first round. Nope. That's a wrap there on the Barstool.
But I guess if you sign Kirk to a new 5-year all-guaranteed contract, you don't need J.J. McCarthy.
Ironclad.
Yep.
Kirk, no trade. Ironclad complete, Cousins.
Complete no trade. Just like everyone else these days.
All right. There's your hard count edition of Purple Daily here. We are excited to officially begin the NFL offseason on this show. This is the place to be every single day for daily discussion about how the Vikings can tweak and upgrade their roster here. So stick with us. Thor Thursdays or Thorsdays, as some of the audience are calling them.
Ooh, I like that.
Thorsdays.
Yep. Thorsdays. That's good.
We've got Purple Daily on draft with Declan and Tyler Fornes and Miles Gorham. So all sorts of content here. 365 days a year. Purple Daily. Daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.